I consider this as one of three of my spiritual families, truthfully. First one, I attend my wife's church. Usually what she says goes. So I consider her my first and foremost spiritual family. My spiritual family in Kansas City, who has been able to see me since 2000, really grow, seen me through my mistakes, and really, really supported me and my wife and my family to go after reaching the next generation and then this spiritual family. The reason that you're part of my spiritual family is because of the way you took a chance on us. And it wasn't us taking a chance on you. It was 15 years ago that a group of people came to Kansas City on a very hot, humid, demonic day in Kansas City, and stood with us ever since. So not a day goes by right now that I don't remember Virginia in my prayers, and I want us to continue to pray for her. Tuesday night, I'm going to devote Tuesday night to a prayer meeting with the children and the leaders. And we'll take a portion of that night on Tuesday night, and we will just speak prayers for Virginia's healing. And that she would, while we're here and we know the gospel, we would contend that her best days are left. And that we would have faith for her and many people. We're not going to quit praying for those that are in need of physical healing. So I'll want to record those prayers somehow, and then we'll be able to send them to her so she can hear the voices of children. I believe what rests upon this place, I believed it for a really long time, is that truly a Psalm 8 anointing would be rooted deep in this very spiritual family to where it would make room for a generation to be raised up and equipped so that out of the mouths of babes you have ordained praise. And that praise would silence the voice of the enemy. I have many things that I could share, but I'm going to lead us into a time of prayer for the children. Last year was a turning point. I think it was a year last year in the camp where we just all took a breath and we just said, Lord, what's next? Do you want to move on? Do you want to move in? Do you want something from us more? Or are we really at a place now where we're just going to transition? But the Lord made it very clear that we were to continue on. And this will be the 14th year here. And I believe that we are at a turning point. We are at another place in our journey where we are going to come together as a fellowship, a spiritual family, and have faith for a generation. We see you, and it doesn't, because we see you in Kansas City a certain way, it doesn't make us real important. We're so rough and ugly out there, it's not even funny. But we do serve under a great God and a leadership team who are just willing to swing the bat. Just willing to swing at the pitches thrown at them. So there's something to be learned that if you have 3,000-4,000 at bats, you know, you'll have 600-700 strikeouts for sure. You'll not have very many hits, maybe more singles than doubles. But you know what? We swing the bat. And as I was praying this week in the prayer room in our 6 a.m. set, I was praying for the camp. And I was reminded of a car ride that I had from the airport to here one year. Don't ask me to remember the year. I either seriously have amnesia or just am getting old. Can't put years together as quick as I used to be. But a few years back, I had a car ride with Al on the way to this place. And long story short, I was able to hear this man's vision. And it provoked me. And you remember the car ride. I did not know the history, what was going on, the community, the culture, whatever. And we didn't spend a lot of time talking about a lot of that. We're just talking about the possibilities of the gospel going forth. And so I was praying Wednesday in my own little podunk world back there, rough and ugly little prayer room, hasn't quit for a really long time, for the camp, and I was highlighted. It was highlighted to me by the Lord that I want to say that Al and Sharon, I really had faith last week like never before to pray that the fulfillment of your vision would come forth. And I hear the Lord whisper in my heart, it will. And I just want to say, your vision from long ago for this place, through all the storms, all the victories, it's pointed to the heart of God. It's pointed in the right direction. So I'm really, really encouraged. And I believe this camp is going to mark something this week. Last year, we had to take a breath and we had to go forth. And we had many great things happen in this camp. And over the years, God has used this camp for me in my life, in my journey, 32 years of ministering to the next generation through all sorts of different program practices and values and missions and objectives. The Lord has used this camp and always maintained that this was the first camp. This was going to be the first camp of our entire summer. I'll do 60,000 miles before the end of the year doing camps, and every one of them will be centered around this camp being the first one. What am I saying? You and your spiritual family are forerunners. And I don't mean forerunners in the sense of we teach about it. It's in the book. We got a mandate. Forerunner is not a theme. It's a reality. And God has placed this spiritual family, and if you're new, He has placed this spiritual family in a position of kingdom authority and apostolic influence. And where you have taken the journey to go into areas of people's lives to see inner healing and wholeness take place, to eschatology and His coming, and man, just talk about that for an hour and you're going to have some interesting things to have to go through. And then intercession. And so the Lord has put this place as a result of the pioneers before into a place of being a forerunner and seeing kingdom realities go forth. That's what you're a part of. When I found out that, I don't know to what degree this is happening, I always ask about 4 or 5 little questions as to, hey, what's going on? What you guys been teaching on there? And Tammy and Jack fill me in and others. And when I heard that Justin is wanting to really see the prophetic history of here, Restoration Fellowship, the prophetic history be highlighted, I got excited about that. You know, because we go to meetings, and you've been there, man, and so has Scott and Kelly. We go to meetings with Mike Bickle. Oh, you got this part on tape? We'll don't send it to Mike. But anyway, we go to meetings sometimes, just like our people. I'll just qualify it like this. Just like my staff go to my meetings. Okay, there we go. It's neutral now. Neutral ground. Well, here he goes again. Saying the same. Oh, how many more times do we have to hear this thing? Let me tell you something that I came up with yesterday about when I heard this, that you were doing this. Bold move. We need to pray for you, man. But when I heard about this, I wrote down the Pagosa Springs prophetic history, this spiritual family. And I got to hurry through this and get to what I really wanted to say. But I wrote this down. What does being reminded of our prophetic history do for us? I've had to literally ask myself that question. Because there's not really a meeting that we go to in Kansas City to where we're going, again, we're reminded of what God spoke in the beginning, what He has tried to do that He hasn't done. Have you taken inventory lately, Mike? We haven't accomplished some of this stuff, man. Is it still going to happen? And I've had to change my heart in that respect. When you receive prophetic direction, apostolic authority, And those kind of anointings and outpourings, it's for the purpose of seeing God revealed and reminding the next generation of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. I wrote down here today, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 5, it was not your children? Was it not your children who saw what you did, God, in the wilderness? Was it not your children who saw the Lord and what the Lord did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at that place? What one generation has known about God must somehow be passed on to a new generation that lacks those experiences. And what are we communicating when we transfer to a generation those things? Do we want to communicate the experience? Of course. Why? Because it shows our faith. What are we really giving to the next generation? Great experiences? Great stories? Man, we got enough of those great stories to last for an hour. But what are we giving to our children? And what is the position that we need to be in right now for the next generation as a spiritual family? It's to communicate faith. It's to communicate and pass on faith. What does being reminded of the things of the Lord? Well, you're reminded of what God has promised here. Has two avenues. One, it could bring real discouragement. Like, are you kidding me? Never. Or it can bring hope. We're not done. We're going to stay in the battle. We're going to stay on the race and in the journey so that faith would come forth. What does communicating a prophetic history do for us? It plumb lines us. It plumb lines us back to the things of God. What the enemy would want you to do is adopt the thought pattern that, failure, discouragement. Heard that before. And what I'm sharing with you is the sweet rebuke of the Lord that was given to me. And this is not to be given to you as any kind of rebuke. But I believe that this spiritual family is in a place now where it's going to get back in touch with the root system that was here all along, so that it would see a generation take on those praiseworthy deeds of the Lord by looking at a group of people older than them and go, you know why I'm in? Because they had faith. It's not about their stories. It's about the faith. And this place has faith. And we're going to sign up again if we need encouragement in that particular area. So it plumb lines us. Reviewing our prophetic history and hearing those words again over us, it plumb lines us back to the heart of God. It tells us what to resource. When we hear those promises from of old, the prophetic history, we're to take those and go, you know what? They were of God. And it teaches us and shows us what we're to resource, what we're to put our time, energy, and money and heart into. That's the biggest victory that I see. Well, I see a bunch of them, but when Mike shares our prophetic history 7,000th time, what I see more than anything is, look, it's one thing to hear about it, then it's another thing to organize around it. And we got to resource that prophetic history. So as he goes through reminding us, and Alan, the leaders remind us of those things God spoke over to us, let's not go the other way and put our arm's length at it. Let's look at it and go, you know what? Let's pray about how we resource that. Because if you go after resourcing about it, he's a good dad. He'll tell you yes or no. He'll tell you yes or no. It plumb lines us. It tells us what to resource. And it builds greater faith. Put that in your heart. It builds greater faith when you are reminded about those things that God has spoken, the prophetic history of an individual or the spiritual family. And as you go and embrace this as a spiritual family, it builds greater faith. And then I put this down. What it has done for me when I'm reminded of the things of God that he spoke early on, even in my marriage, he spoke over us. I'm reading things that were prophesied over my wife and I. that I've later been reminded of and become discouraged because, you know, I'm not the guy to pull that off. I'm really failing at some things, but I'm not going to go there anymore. And sometimes being reminded of our prophetic history, I put this down, it leads us to forgiveness. And I want to move into a couple of things about the next generation here and this camp. But I could tell you after 3 decades of having to have ministry equipping a generation while the main sermon was going forth on a Sunday, Saturday, Friday, or whenever else, I can tell you what the one thing, number one thing that children and young people are looking for help with, it's called forgiveness. And I've said it many times maybe here, we got another generation growing up trying to figure out what's wrong with the church. And so we have to be a people of forgiveness. We must be a people that have greater abilities to have faith in the things that have never happened. And what I saw in the prayer room is that I saw the root system of something, and I'm not Joe Farmer. I'm telling you, I am the least guy likely to succeed with a power tool. That's the vote that came from my family and my upbringing. But I saw this field, and I saw the root system, and it was Restoration Fellowship, and it was all the things that were rooted deep from the beginning, and the way God was going to, you know, one day just drop this place on Pagosa, you know, because it's forerunning. It's willing to be a forerunner. It's willing to say the hard things. It's willing to go forth and talk about His coming. It's willing to talk about things in your life that need to be healed. I mean, it was truly a messenger of God. This place was a messenger from heaven, man, for this community, for this region. And I saw this field, and I saw these roots, and then I saw these little hands underneath the ground. I didn't see faces. I saw little hands, and what the little hands were doing, they were repairing the roots a little bit. They were just taking the ones out that didn't need to be there, but they were busy and they were just connecting. It was like a bunch of wires underneath the ground, and they're just being connected. And so I don't want us to lose the heart that God wants us to have for pioneering. For pioneering. Because when we, and I'll finish my sentence, when we look this way in all the relationships that we have across the earth in Kansas City, when we look at this one, we know that this is a kingdom message that a spiritual family desired to embrace, to go forward, to see restoration and wholeness in the lives of people. And I believe that God wants to raise up in this hour, and you'll get, when I'm about ready to share with you, you'll go, okay, he's right, he might be on to something. Because I don't like to really give stats. To me, when you talk about stats, it's really doom and gloom kind of things, and it gives place for the enemy. But I'm going to give you a few things, because I believe this week we are going to undo some of these stats. And we're going to have the faith to lay forth for a generation an opportunity for them to treasure the gospel. That's my theme. I've been talking to a bunch of young people. I've been having think tanks with 9-year-olds for 30 years. What's going on? How do you see the church? What's happening? What do I need to do? I'll never forget when I first took over the first 2 years in Kansas City. I looked Mike Bickle in the eye. I said, we're going to look bad for a really long time. Because I have this responsibility to recruit 52 weeks out of the year from the very group of people that caused the problem in the family and the church. That's the assignment that ministers have today who want to work with the next generation. We have to recruit. Bottom line, if I don't recruit and have workers and those little ones are in that service making too much noise, I'm not going to have that job very long. Or I'll have the job for a really long time until the Lord raises up another person. You have to recruit. You have to mobilize. I had to learn to do that there. I was pretty good at it before I got there. But then I got there, and I'm going, I don't know if I want 70% of the people that are in that sanctuary working with the children. It doesn't mean I have a judgment against them or what have you. It just means I have the responsibility to recruit from the same group of people that have the problem. So what choice do I have other than to go with the 8-year-olds, man? To go with the 9-year-olds and wait it out. All I've done in Kansas City is wait it out. We started here 14 years ago. We waited it out. The boy's on the piano leading worship now. Because of us? No, because of this family. Because of your family. But there's a partnership the Lord wants to give to us. And for me, I believe with all my heart, the church and the family need to partner together, not see each other as the enemy. We need to be in partnership. Yes, the main nurture of a child begins in the home. No doubt. Let's never lose that. I almost taught that outline. Lord said, no, go a different direction. I was so ready to talk about how the nurture begins in the home and how it was taken out of the home a little bit to a formalized program. I was going to give you a history lesson. The Lord said, are you kidding me? These people don't need a history lesson. They need mobilized. And so I really feel there's a great partnership coming in the days ahead, especially over this next decade. Because in light of the hour we are in light of the hour that is coming, we need to, as leaders, answer the question, how now shall we lead? In light of what we're in, and in light of what is coming as leaders and churches, we need to go after hearing from God. Okay, in light of the hour we are in light of the hour that's coming, how now shall we lead? But it doesn't stop there. What now shall we teach? How now shall we parent? And what song shall they sing? And so the Lord wants to partner with the church and with the family. And He wants to bring unity between the church and the family. And not let ministries to children be where they go to get fed while the adults get fed. My vision all along is the same Holy Spirit that would move upon our sanctuaries of our church would be set free among the children. Now, 20 years later, I'm 32 years into it, about the 20-year mark, I'm going, Lord, it'd be real nice that the Holy Spirit that's moving upon the children might want to visit that adult congregation over there one day. And that's the kind of faith we need to have. We're not building programs. We're saving lives. So that's going to be our theme, an unshakable treasure, an unshakable desire to treasure the gospel. I don't know how, you know, my wife said, how are you going to get that across to the children? I don't know. Well, one, I'm going to tap into a spiritual family that believes in it. I got that going for me. I got the covering. What else are you going to do? I said, well, I can't answer that right now. In fact, I don't like answering your questions anyway. I said, I need 2 days. On every one of my wife's questions, when she is a bit of a challenge, I pause. Okay, I'll get back to you. And then I seek the Lord, truly, not on everything. Not on where we're going to go eat and all that kind of stuff. I'll take that one right away. But I started thinking, we're treasures. His treasure in jars of clay. How what He did with us as He put His word in these jars of clay. And so that's going to be our theme. Understanding the heart of a pioneer. Leaders today must adopt and appreciate the heart of a pioneer. This is a forerunner movement. Not because it's found in a manual, but because it was brought to this spiritual family by the Lord. Heaven opened over this place. That's what I'm talking about. Because the church is real good at going around and teaching each other's themes. And I really feel the Lord's with those little children repairing those roots down there, man. They're hooking this up and hooking that up. And, you know, they're making sure. I believe that there's an effort from heaven to with the children. They're going to make sure you all keep a way for the children to know God. I'm really going after that. So leaders today must adopt and appreciate the heart of a pioneer. This is a huge test, and depending on how we position our hearts, our tongues, and our motives, we could easily disqualify ourselves from the ministry and our mission. I'm running from that one, man. We got a pioneer down there in Kansas City on prayer. I'm going to quit judging him, and I'm just going to get on the bus. And by getting on the bus doesn't mean I'll compromise, because the Holy Spirit speaks to me, illuminates Jesus in my life, and if I see something off or I see something needing to be tweaked, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the right way to go about to voice my opinion. But we need to get on the bus, because our children need to get on somebody's bus. And they are getting on somebody's bus, and it's time that they get on God's bus. It's time that we make a way for our children to not go to that bus over there, that false grace message where it says everything is good, everything is okay, that seeker-sensitive thing over there that just says, let's just be real safe on how we say it so we get a lot of people in our church. No, the kingdom bus is what our children need to get on. The Lord desires us to have a passionate appreciation and a burning heart for those who ran the race before us. That's what I want our children to see more than everything. I don't want them to see. We sit in ELT executive leadership team meetings. There's 12 of us that sit in this room. And I'll tell you what, for 90 minutes of that meeting, I don't know what in the world we're talking about. I couldn't tell you why we came up with that idea. And they listen to mine, and I bet they're looking at me going, you need a sabbatical, bro. You just need to step away for a while. No. The Lord desires to have a passionate appreciation and burning heart for those who ran the race before us. My job with the next generation is to take what these bozos are saying, including myself, at times, and make a way for the children. Make a way for the children so that they would have an appreciation for those who ran the race before them. Man, that's us. And if you embrace that and adopt that as a belief structure, then the Holy Spirit is going to set up people in your lives that you had no idea you would meet. And you'll have orchestrated Holy Spirit divine appointments like never before. That should be our prayer as a spiritual family. We want to fast and pray? Let's try 5 hours on just, Lord, I need divine appointments today. I need divine appointments today. That's the hardest prayer for me. Because I avoid people sometimes. I'll go out the back. And now I'm saying, I want a generation to grow up and really understand the heart of forgiveness. So God, give me ordained meetings and divine appointments. I believe that's going to be a corporate cry from this place. As a spiritual family, you will cry out as you go through the prophetic history of this place, and you will cry out, oh God, once again, send us divine appointments. Some of you are sitting in this sanctuary as a divine appointment, man, by God. Amen? So I really believe the Lord's onto something. I'm going to give you a couple of things that I want you to pray about. And I'm going to ask that everyone here and others that you know to maybe just come to one night session. Pick one during the week. We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night sessions. Pick one during the week to come to and be part of the ministry team. Or just stand in the back and just cheer us on as we go forth, marking a generation to know God, love God, serve Him forever. The current and social spiritual landscape, and I did this a while back for elementary children. In 2011, I got this resource from the Federal Forum on Child and Family Statistics in a great book by Tammy Erickson, How to Mobilize Technologies, how mobile technologies are shaping a generation. So these aren't my stats. But in 2011, there were 73.9 million children in the United States, 0 through 17. Of those 73.9 million children, there are 24.6 million 6 to 11-year-olds. The current generation of 6 to 12-year-olds are being labeled as the, this is what they're calling them now, regeneration or Generation I. Due to the impact of the internet, mobile technology, wireless communication, and constant communication and contact. The statistics regarding how this generation, specifically in the United States, is being affected by media and differing worldviews is staggering. Two-thirds of 4 to 7-year-olds have used an iPhone or an iPod. 50% of 11-year-olds have and do own a cell phone or will in the very near future. 72% of the top-selling educational apps in Apple's iTunes and their App Store this year were aimed at preschoolers and those in elementary school. So not only does the, you know, I'm not saying these are demon companies. I'm not saying it. We could use this for God's glory, right? I'm not here to say, okay, throw your cell phone in the water, you know. What I'm saying is, if we don't take our stand as forerunners, then the enemy is going to use this stuff in a very wicked way, and already is. Because now you got these apps for preschoolers and kindergartners that will assist the parent in teaching the children. So not only is there an attempt on the enemy to bombard our children with all these fancy things at their fingertips, at the same time, the enemy is removing the instruction that should come from the parents to the children in terms of how they lead them. Now you might say, dude, do you know, bro, my math skills? I will say to you, do you know mine? So if it's a math app and it's helping your children, I'm not against that. I'm not saying that. Let's go further and check this out. And I'll wrap this up because we're going to pray. Kids 11 to 14 spend an average of 73 minutes a day texting. Okay? 73 minutes a day. So you might say, you know, I looked at my son's log and I'm going, 73 minutes a day would be a miracle. Over 25% of 2 to 5-year-olds and over 40% of 6 to 8-year-olds use the internet. Wow. 88% of 6 to 8-year-olds use the internet to play games, 37% to help with homework, 25% to get the inside scoop on what interests them, and 22% to read and write email. 90% of tweens, 10 to 12-year-olds, play online games. Younger children spend over 10 hours a week playing video games. If you take a look at the global landscape, you will find that 40 to 50% of children ages 15 and under live in the least developed and often most conflicted countries of the world. 50% of that number of children live in the most conflicted area around the world, also known as the 1040 window. And this is where I'm going with this so that we can pray. The heat of the battle against the family is intensifying. Our children are bombarded with many things that distract them from pursuing a relationship with Jesus. It is no surprise that many kids growing up today lack vision and power for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yet they are very capable of knowing God in a deep way, and that God has a desire for them. In 1997, the former dean of the Billy Graham School of Missions and the evangelism organization called Church Growth at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and the current president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources published a book called The Bridge Generation that provided information of changing demographics within the church. They did this research. If you were born between 1927 and 1945, it's called the Builder Generation, 65% of that population were evangelical believers. If you were born between 1946 and 1964, you're called the Boomer Generation, 35% of that generation were evangelical believers. Born between 1965 and 1983, the Buster Generation, 16% of that population were evangelical believers. And if you were born between 1984, current Bridger, what they call the Bridger Generation, 4% are believers. So we got a job to do. And we're going to chip away at it this week. Are we going to solve the problem? No. But we're going to give ourselves and put ourselves in a place where we can help children somehow through the helper, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the one that makes Jesus famous. We're going to go after somehow getting down into their bones, into their soul, that they can treasure the gospel. So when they grow, that Holy Spirit reminds them of what happened. I know that there are children over 14 years that have come to the Signs and Wonder camps and the camps that we've done and through the ministry here of children. I know they're out there remembering what happened to them as a child. I can't lose faith in that. I know the ministry belongs in the home. But you know what? To 65% of the population now growing up in the church, we are the closest thing. The church is the closest thing that they will have to a father. And so we're going to take that role and we're going to go forth. What do we need to do about it? Well, we need to understand that God desires to speak to children. Samuel, the child through whom God delivered a needful but difficult message to the high priest. And it goes on, and you know that. You know the story. David, only a boy when God began speaking to him. I'll never forget. The little boy, the Native American, about 7, 8 years ago, 10 years, maybe more. My wife was here. We were way up on another side of a hill. And he says to my wife, this little guy, he goes, because she has this massive vision. You're going to play your instrument for God. You're going to drum for God. And he looks at her and goes, but on Tuesday night, I have to go up on the hill and I have to beat the drum for the medicine man guru. What's that little boy going to do with that? I believe the Holy Spirit is involved in that little boy's life. And you say to yourself, how can we help you with the camp? Continue to resource it. Continue to sow into it. But you know what you can do more than anything? You could pray this week that the gospel sticks. That's it. You could find a corner in your house somewhere or in the church or in your place that only you and God know about where you can go to your knees and say, oh God, whatever that big bald guys doing up there and that team of people leading worship. And I mean, because this camp is the first year we didn't bring a team. And I really felt the Lord say, you know what? It's really okay. It's not about this. It's about this generation now taking its rightful place. The generation that were little in this church who are now leaders taking their rightful place. Do you know what we're doing at this camp? Last year was a turning point. Took a deep breath. This camp here is going to be the one that marks 20 more years of these camps. Ryan. And others. You're the first one I see over there that I know. Picking on you a little bit. But I'm real serious. Josiah. A boy king through whom God reformed the religious and social state of his country. Esther. An orphan girl who was likely in her early teens. You think they had it all together in their family? Man, some of the families that are going to be coming here this week, they don't have it all together. But because they don't have it all together and they got a fragmented father and they got a fatherless situation or whatever's going on, drugs, whatever, does that mean God wants to not put a Samuel anointing on them? Does that mean God's not able to put a David anointing on somebody? Does that mean God's not able to put a Josiah anointing on somebody? Does that mean there's not going to be an outpouring of an Esther anointing? How do we move forward? We need to have a burden of intercession for this generation. And if you would right now, just put your hands out. Just maybe if it helps you if you want to close your eyes, you can. It's not, I don't want to do a religious thing. But if you just put your hands out. I'm just going to ask you real quick. And then Justin's going to come up, and then I'm going to come back up, and then we're going to pray for the children. We have two little ministry times. This one's real short. Justin will come back up. And then I'll lead us into a time of intercession for the children that are coming. Would you just pray that your heart could be strengthened as an intercessor? Could you just pray right now and ask the Lord to give you that place? I'm just asking for 10 minutes a day. If each one in here could just go to their knees or go to their place or stand before the Lord and just pray 10 minutes. gospel sticks. We need your help. Man, I've been doing this so long, I'm looking at myself sometimes going, what are you doing, man? Are you really making a difference? And I know we are. But we need the backing of the church. We need the backing of the spiritual family. Not just the budget, not just the resources, not just the things that make it happen, not just the program things. That's called servanthood. That's built into our DNA. Those are no-brainer things. We need prayers. We need prayers. Would you pray that you would receive a burden to intercede? Would you pray that we could have clarity of our message? And I would just say, as a friend of yours, that'd be what I'd want you to pray for me about and the team that we'll teach. That we would just be able to be anointed, have clarity, not go through the motions. And that we would have boldness to speak the word. And that we would raise this generation up to be messengers. So, Lord, I pray for clarity of message, boldness to speak the gospel. And I pray for those in this place, oh God, that they would have the heart of an intercessor this week and go before you and pray for every boy and every girl. And I don't know if it's possible, Tammy. I don't know if we can publish just the first names of every child that came to camp and then make it known maybe to the spiritual family to where you might just bring up before the Lord Christopher's name or Amy's name or Joshua. Maybe we can pray this week, pick a name and pray for that person. So Lord, thank you for this spiritual family. As we come back to intercede for the children, Lord Jesus, would you pour out your anointing upon us, your love for us, the thoughts that you have for those children, Lord.
Amen. All right, well, Lenny's going to lead us in a time of intercession just in a couple of minutes here. I just want to put some things forward so he can finish out this morning how he wants to. We want to take a love offering for Lenny. We'll put it on the piano back there. And, if you have been touched by his ministry over the year, if your children have been touched, if you just want to sow into what the Lord's doing, I encourage you, please, let's leave him a love offering, a thankful offering to him, and really bless him today. And I'm going to let him finish out how he wants. And yeah. I just want to encourage us, let's stir ourselves up for about 10 minutes here.
Yeah.
And let's pray and intercede. Just, right. Lord, right now, we just ask that you'd stir up zeal in our hearts right now to contend in intercession as Lenny leads us to pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Ryan, if you want to go back. Oh, you got the names? Yeah.
We have about a dozen children. I got pretty undone this week. We can't say the neighborhood, but we have at least a dozen, maybe two dozen children that want to come, but their lives are a mess. There's oppression. There's literally a little boy hanging out an open window trying to give me a note to call mom when she's not on meth and when she's not, when she can, I think if you can come when she's okay, she'll let us go. And he's bargaining for his 6-year-old sister and 13-year-old sister while, the deadbeat dude drug boyfriend is telling him, get your butts in the house. And that was the third night they had chased me around this trailer park. So we've got kids, at least a dozen of them, whose parents can't or won't. The oppression, the enemy won't let them come. Let's pray for those 12.
Yeah, don't get mad at me for saying this, but I have connection in Kansas City with the Grandview Police Department, and we have an inner city ministry, Kid City 7. and the chief of police and the mayor and I were meeting to talk about this. And they go, well, what can we do for you, Pastor LaGuardia? I go, well, you could like go to the judge and say for 10 hours you terminate the parental rights of this entire neighborhood, drug-infested neighborhood, for 10 hours so we can go pick those kids up. Well, we can't do that. Yeah, but God can. And it doesn't mean literally, like, terminate your parental rights. Or they belong to that family. But we can see the Holy Spirit intervene, correct? And really, let's just pray for that. Let's pray first for that. So here, I'm going to just again stretch forth your hands if you feel comfortable doing that. I want to go before the Lord for these children. And I got a bro on the piano. And even if you just stare at these lists, stare at these names. I'm going to go a little further forward. Go a little forward by the pulpit here. Let's get right there. Tammy, go forward just a little bit on this side. You stay on this side. You stay on this side. Get your phones out. Take a picture of this. These poster boards. It's where technology. This is how we win in technology right here. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you and we say, Lord Jesus, you are their provider. And we ask, Lord, as a spiritual family today, God, that you would orchestrate divine connection between the children and this camp. For those children to get to this camp. We say now, God, silence the voice of the enemy. Silence that father, that boyfriend, that demon. We rebuke you, Satan. And we say, you will not find this generation. Satan, we rebuke you. You will not find those children. We ask now, God, for your blood to be shed over those families, those neighborhoods right now. For as this spiritual family walks in that in which you call them into, message of a forerunner. And the rest of the church wouldn't say the hard things this church did. The rest of the church across the body of Christ played it safe. This spiritual family desired not to. So Lord, I pray you pour out your blessing upon this spiritual family as the underneath the ground, the roots are being reconnected. Lord Jesus, thank you for this spirit of a forerunner, God. Now just each of us, just begin to pray over names over that. Sing over those children right now. Sing over them right now.
In the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
So I'll sing this.
There is power
for our children,
in
Lord.
The name of Jesus.
Ignite your fire.
And there is
the
power
children, Lord, that are coming.
In the name
ignite your fire,
Jesus.
God.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Holy Spirit, we need you. Come make Jesus known.
There's an army rising up.
You're a different father than they
There's
have,
an
God.
Army You're a different. Rising up. Yes. There's an army.
They do have a father. It's you. It's you.
Up.
It's you, Abba.
To break every chain.
Break in.
Break every chain. Break every
break
chain.
Break in, God.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every
the promises that you've had over this church, God, this spiritual family. Let us walk in those promises this week. Let us walk in those promises. Every promise, every prophetic voice that was of you for this spiritual family, let us come under that covering this week, oh God. Take the land back. Break every chain.
All sufficient sacrifice is so freely given, such a price for our redemption. Heaven's gates swing wide. Yes. Sing, I see an army. And there's an army rising up. And there's an army rising up. Yes, Lord, an army. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's close by lifting Virginia Humphreys. For the Lord, the one that went before us, went before the children. Lord, pour your healing power out upon her now. Oh, Jesus. I ask, Lord, that the generation that will be gathering this week, there'll be a handful that would just, God, somehow they would move your heart. All you need to do is look our way, and we're better. Look her way, God. Look her way, God. And thank you, God. We can stand on the hearts of the pioneers. Virginia, Alan, Sharon, Jack and Tammy, and others that have labored. The elders, the men, women, spiritual fathers and mothers. Justin and his family. Terrence, everyone going forth. And many in here, God. I don't know the names to, God, that we would go forth like never before in making a way for a generation. We, before you, I declare now, God, we take off the label of a yearly camp and something that we just do. I know that's not our heart, but God, we are on a mission. We ask that you change us now as we go into this year. We would tap into the mission, the fulfillment of the vision and mission that was meant for this place, this community, the surrounding community, the region. We ask you to pour out your spirit upon the region. In Jesus' name.